Ramadan today. I looked on the calendar, I saw some extra time. This is a shiur that I basically stole from Rabbi Wein. Rabbi Beryl Wein, I heard him speak several times. And he's like a rabbi of my parents in Rehavia. And this is like putting together much longer shiurim. But the difference between Rashi and the Rambam in their worldviews. Okay, so we spoke about Rashi, spoke about the Rambam. So these nice ideas. Okay, there's basically, if not everything from Rabbi Beryl Wein, it's like 90% from Rabbi Beryl Wein. So here's this interesting thing. Two of the greatest Jews of the last 1,000 years, one, although also a posek, primarily known as a parshan, and the other, although also a parshan, primarily known as a posek, have very different outlooks on many different subjects. And that's okay, and it's very important, because Judaism is not monolithic. Okay? This is one of the nice things that you have here in the Tiv. You see so many different rabbanim. And you understand that there's not one way to be a good Jew. There's many different ways. And here we're going to have Rashi and Rambam coming from different points of view, different world outlooks. There's a Gemara at the end of Tanis that says, that's on the last page, that Kodesh Baruch Hu is sitting in a circle, and all serious Jews are on the circumference of the circle. Now, Ethan and I, right, are here. Yoni and I, let's assume we're the same distance from Yoni, but I see from one point of view, you see from another point of view. So that's the same thing with these people. That's the way I understand the gardens in Tanis. They can be 180 degrees apart, seemingly opposites, and yet they're equidistant from the center. As long as you're a serious Jew, you're trying to get to it, but you're on the circle. Right? So Rashi and Rambam, they, although only one century apart, they lived in different countries, had different upbringing, different education, and everyone is influenced by their worldview. There's no such thing as living in a vacuum, and that's not humanity. Everyone is influenced by what's going on around them, and it makes its way into the way you view things. Now, three topics I want to talk about. The first is their view on Christianity. For the Rambam, this is theoretical. Rambam didn't live in Christian Europe. For Rashi, it's halakha l'maisa. Now, on the one hand, the Rambam thinks Islam is monotheistic. Okay, just as an aside, not everyone agrees. We often just know the Rambam and assume that Islam is monotheistic. I have seen other Rishonim, and certainly Achronim, that feel they have turned Muhammad into a god, and therefore it's not as clear as we think that of course you can enter a mosque, and of course it's monotheistic. But we'll just stay with the Rambam. Rambam feels that this is monotheistic, but they don't believe in the veracity of Tanakh. They think Jews falsified stories. It was really Akedah Yishmael, and we switched into Akedah Yitzchak. Right? The fact that it had already been translated into many languages before Islam even came around is irrelevant. But, you know, this is their claim. Christians, on the other hand, they believe in the Tanakh. Verbatim, every word in Tanakh is, you know, from God to mankind. But says Rambam, Christianity is a Bodhisattva. And therefore, if any of you guys ever learned even the Mishnayos of Bodhisattva, any of you learned the Mishnayos or the Gemara of Bodhisattva? Okay? There's all sorts of, you know, very strong language of how we treat pagans. They don't think, you know, to save him, he falls in a pit, don't help him out, all sorts of things, because pagans at the time that the Jews were living then were trying to kill right and left. Right, it'd be like today saying, you don't have to save, you have all the time in Israel, the doctors that saved the Mechabel, that got injured when he had blown himself up to kill 20 people, right? Should he save them? In Israel, they do. But you could understand people arguing not to. The Gemara is saying, don't help them out of the pit. And according to the Rambam, this applies to Christianity. They are the pagans. They are of their Bodhisattva. In a letter to non-Jews, the Rambam talks about teaching Torah. And he says to us, because the Torah is for Jews, we're like married to the Torah, teaching Torah to non-Jews is like, sounds like adultery, like giving away your wife. You don't give away your wife to someone else. Okay? There are some countries that was the minhag. A guest comes in, they serve them tea, coffee, and their wife. There are places in Africa, serious. This is like, till today, there's a minhag. But most of us find that a little bit repulsive. And if the Torah is ours, we don't give it away. All of this is if the Jews are Yad Kifa Aleihem, we're in charge. Okay, if we're not in charge, so the, it's not true, but this is what the Rambam is saying. And therefore, it's also to teach a Goy Torah until he's ready to convert. But you can teach him the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach, right? He then adds, this is only to the Christians. Why? Because they take it seriously. But the Muslims, they attack the veracity of the Tanakh, and therefore just leave them be. Again, Rambam's view on Christianity, they take the Torah seriously, they're just old Avodah Zarah. And the Muslims, they're monotheists, they don't take the Torah seriously. To understand the attitude of Rashi, we have to understand the climate in France pre-Crusades. Pre-Crusades, the Jews were involved in the wine business, money lending, real estate. All with Goyim. Jews even owned Christian slaves. They were well off. Life was good. Doing business with Christians was the norm. And therefore, when Rashi and his colleagues looked at the Gemara of Zara, they had a big problem. Because the Gemara of Zara seemingly assers everything they're doing. So, the Mishnah states 3 days before their Chag, it's usher to do business or to lend or borrow money from Toldei Avodah Zarah, from pagans. So Rashi explains why, because they'll attribute their good fortune to their gods. Tosis asked, so what's our heter? We do it. What's our heter? Right, you should know based on this, this is a question. Can you give, I don't know how many of you have, like, I assume probably some of you do, but first of all, in your offices, okay, Bezrat Hashem, you'll work in office, maybe one day you'll, you know, run the business. So let's say your dad, I assume, has non-Jews working in his business, right? Does he give a Christmas bonus? It's a question. Are you allowed to give a Christmas bonus? Okay? We lived in America for 2 years. We had a cleaning lady. Okay? She came in once a week. And the minhag was to give a Christmas bonus. So what do? You give a Christmas bonus. So, you know, I wasn't sure what the halacha was. Hanukkah came out a little bit before. So I just, like, told her the week before, I said, you know, like, it's our holiday. I'm giving you this bonus because, like, it's a really nice time for us. And then the next week, I shouldn't curse me out so much, but I didn't give her a Christmas. But that's, you know, I preempted it. I know if I would have done it before and after. No. What are you doing? Okay. But there's a question. Tosa says, how do I deal with this? Everyone's doing it. So, and they said, what are the chagim? Christmas and Easter. And we're doing business, certainly doing business. So what's the answer? Here's a few answers that you find. One, Mishum Eva. What's Mishum Eva? We place in a bunch of places. Hatred. That they're going to hate us, and therefore it's mother. The obvious question on that is, who cares if hatred? If this is a Avodah Zarah, just to give up my life, rather than do a Avodah Zarah. So what's the heter for me, because they might hate me, to go, I'm supposed to be killed by the Avodah Zarah. So the answer is, it's not actual Avodah Zarah. It's only lifting Iver, you know, for the guy. But, you know, it's still a question. Like, I don't get it. If all the non-Jewish stores are closed before the Chagim, why do the Jewish stores have to stay open? Mishum Eivah. Sort of weird. So this is one question that's, one answer that's given. Another answer is found in Tosos. The editor switched it. In the old edition, it said notary, which is referring to the Christians. In our Gemara, Avodah Zarah just says Akum, but you can find on the side all those cool things that tell you the old edition, Tavya, said notary, and there it said that Avodah Zarah, the Trinity is Avodah Zarah for a Jew and not for a guy. It's a very well-known idea by Tosos. But in Hebrew, it's called Shituf, partnership, the Trinity. For a Jew, having God plus anything else, Avodah Zarah. For a guy, it's just an inferior form of monotheism. The average Christian will not tell you the three gods. Right? You just understand this, you know, three-parted Godhead. But it's all one God. And therefore, it's just an inferior form of monotheism for him. It's not Avodah Zarah. And then it's not a problem for him to swear on his Bible, or you know, all those type of things. This is a very well-known idea of Tosos that's used anytime it comes up. And a Jew has a Jew, you know, making a business deal, and he tells a non-Jewish colleague to swear on his Bible, well, there's a Avodah Zarah, you're not allowed to ask him to do a Avodah Zarah. That's like Lif Ne'iv, rather than such. So, everyone quotes this Tosfos. Third idea, Rabbeinu Tam says, it's only also to sell him items that are needed for pagan rituals. God, I'm just selling him stuff that he wants for the Chag, that's not good for pagan ritual. That's okay. Alright, so certain people will solve a problem. Alright, Mark talks about selling certain types of meats, if that's what they're definitely using, or whatever. I mean, I had a neighbor who lived around the corner from me, he sold Christmas decorations. That was his job. Okay, his sukkah always looked like a Christmas tree, but he left all the stuff and hung it and stuff. Anyway, not the lights. So, okay. The harshest idea is the Tosfos quote from Elchanan. Elchanan said, the church leaders are a bunch of fakers. They're just in it for the money. There's no religious element to this. And therefore, even if you're giving money directly to the church, it's got no religious significance because for them it's a business like any other business, and don't worry about it. They're not really from Jesus. This is like an interesting view. The son, he met the Reformed church leaders. Okay. It's like I once sat on a plane next to a Protestant minister, and he was like explaining to me all about, you know, Protestant religion versus Catholicism and you know, the way they view things. He was telling me how he gets along really well with the Reformed rabbi, and I said, of course you do. You both broke from, you know, what was considered the traditional thing, and I understand why you guys get along so well. All right. Rashi is even quoted in Sefer HaOrah to say, Stam Yenim is not a problem. Because the guy, not in Stam Yenim, Yayin Nesach, even used for rituals, because it's all a show. They don't really mean it. They don't think it means anything. It's all a show, you know, to keep the industry moving. Okay? We don't pass him like this Rashi, but just realize there at least is an opinion in the name of Rashi that Yayin Nesach Mutter because the church is really a joke. Anyway, second opinion, second topic, secular studies. Difference between Rambam and Rashi. Rambam is clear. The highest form of learning is Paradis. Paradis is physics and metaphysics. He spends the first four prakamim, Yisodei HaTorah, the beginning of the Mishnah Torah, dealing with these matters, and later, Mor Nebuchadnezzar. And this value to secular studies is shared by many Sephardi Rishonim. You see it in Rav Yehuda Levi, you see it in Shmuel HaNagi. Rav Sadi Gaon rips on the Ami HaAretz, the absolute morons, because they lack scientific knowledge, believe the fairy tales that a lunar eclipse is when the large dragon swallows up the moon. He says they're a bunch of morons. They should learn some science. In Sefer Shmuel, when Shmuel warns the people about the king, he says, you know, if you have a king, they were requesting a king. He says, they'll turn your daughters into rakachot v'tavachot, which translates into kitchen workers. So Chazal uses, make a drush, and says, this refers to shar chachmot, to secular studies. So Rashi says, what does that mean? It means like the kitchen workers, like menial help. So therefore, shar chachmot is like, you know, some really menial matter of knowledge. But for the Rambam, he says, without the kitchen workers, the food is raw. And therefore, it's an integral part of my studies. I need to study secular studies. In a letter to the Chachmei Runil, he feels it's Dvarim Shel Kedusha. And he praises Aristotle for getting to the highest level any human could reach without Nevuah. Yet Rashi has a completely different view. Okay, we have Sukkim in Bayikra. Pretty sure this is the end of Achrei Moses, not forgetting the Kedoshim. The end of Achrei Moses. Kimaseh Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Yashavtem Bo Lo Tasu. Right? Don't mimic the ways of the people who lived in Egypt. Kimaseh Eretz Kenan Asher Nimeviyatchem Shama Lo Tasu. Don't mimic the ways of the Jews, the inhabitants of Canaan that bring you. Don't bring the ways. Follow my laws. Says Rashi, the ways of the Egyptians and the Canaanites were corrupt, so don't imitate their ways or their customs. Rather, keep both the Mishpatim, sensible mitzvah, and the Chukim, irrational mitzvah. Now, what's the need for, like these words, lalechet ben, go in their ways? So Rashi says, al tivatar mi Torah, don't ever leave the Torah. Shalot tomar, lamadati chachmas Yisrael, nu, I've gone through Shas, elech, belmar, chachmas alamut. Now it's time to move on to Kadosh. Right? This is what Rashi says. Don't ever say that. For Rashi, this worked. He pointed out a couple weeks ago, I spoke about Rashi, he was a keen observer of what was going on around him. In Twa, with all the affairs, he became worldly. And through his experience, he gained knowledge, even if he had no formal education. So, in all of these things, we always say, Eilu Eilu Dibrei Elokim Chayim. Right? The Rambam's view and Rashi's view. Last topic. The supernatural. Shmos, Perek Yud, V'yomer Aleihem, Yichem Hashem Yimachem, Kasher Shlach Etchem, Tabchem, Ra'u Kira'an Neged Panechem. So, literally, Shabbos Pasuk, bad things are going to happen to you. If you push everyone to, you know, push everyone to leave. According to Rashi, he quotes a midrash. Now, you should understand, Rashi is not quoting a midrash because Stam is a cool midrash. Rashi had lots of midrash in front of him. He used his midrash and he said this is Shabbos Pasuk. And what does he quote the midrash to say? Ra'an. Well, I just said to you, it means evil, is actually a particular star that will attack you in the midrash. And it almost happened, said Rashi, Machida Edo. And therefore Moshe said, Ulama Yomru Mitzrayim Leimor Bira'a Hotziam. You say it every time we lay on, you know, on the fast days. Why should you say Bira'a Hotziam? Took us out of this bad star that's going to cause us problems. And only when Yeshua is ever going to bris Mila is the astrological prediction actualized on the blood of the Mila and not on Am Yisrael. Rambam is absolutely 180 degrees on the other side of this issue. The Rambam writes a letter, it's called the Letter About Astrology. He writes it to the men of Marseille, and he says, only fools believe in astrology. Stars do not determine our fate. We have free will. He's not bothered by the Russian here and there that say otherwise. In fact, he says, this very strong terminology, says the Chorban happened because people were busy stargazing and other quote-unquote spiritual endeavors, and instead they should have been learning the art of war. That's what they should have been doing. When the Torah forbids going to wizards and witches and sorcerers, Rashi views them as real. They have real powers. They shouldn't go to them. The Rambam says that in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, these things are all sheker. They're just pagan rituals, and we're way too smart to believe in these stupid things. And Shaul goes to the Balak Ov, right before he dies, right, the battle against the Plishtim. The Balak Ov, the sorcerer, the Radak quotes the Rambam, who quotes an earlier Gaon, the Shmuel, that Chafki Gaon, that this whole thing was a con job. Right, the woman knew exactly who Shaul is. Of course, when he comes in Kagamino, he's like a 6'11" Jew. How many of them are there? You know? So he put on, you know, took off his crown. Big deal. Knew exactly it was. And she got back at him, the little con job, got him beneath the table, said, oh, I'm sure I'm going to freak them out. But of course there's no such thing. Yes, sir?
Isn't that actually in the furnish about Harry Stargazer
and stuff like that? Yeah. So I believe in it. Rambam will say, these are all people that do slight of hand.
But didn't they see that Moshe is going to be born or something?
It's a mirror. Don't say that, sir. Yep, it's very important. Don't confuse Pesukim with Midrashim.
You know, there's right? Midrashim, though.
Yes, and means that is one view. First of all, so Chazal is by definition plural. Chachamim Zichron Bracha. So you often have different views amongst the rabbis. So some rabbis did it. What the Rambam would say is they're being influenced by the surrounding. Everyone believed in that. All right, I mentioned before. I don't remember if I mentioned it in this setting. My wife wanted to put a key in a challah in the Shabbos after Pesach. I said, why in the world would I do that? I think it's a pagan ritual that Jews adopted. The red string, also a joke.
The key thing isn't a legit thing. I thought it was like a Hasidish...
Where do you think it came from?
I don't know.
I believe it is a Hasidish thing. Where do you think they got it from? I think they got it from the country. They're living around on some ridiculous thing. That makes sense to you? I think it's so funny that the two guys sitting in the back of shul, both been talking about Dominic. One guy says, I'm going to take a chamsa hanging from my car window, you know? Got a little five-finger thing, so I'm good to go. Really? That makes sense to you?
I thought the key represented...
I could represent whatever you want to represent.
...cabalistic thing that Hasidim came up with, or...
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what it means. I said to my wife, I say Baruch Lein on the Shemon Esra. I don't need a freaking kitty. If God wants to give me money, He'll give me money. You know, but like, I tell people all the time, what's the school of for Parnas? I said, get a job. That's the school. Well, these guys are sitting there saying, keep the Mektoros from the clock, wondering why large deposits of money isn't put in their bank account. Get a job. That's a school, though. I don't know. I guess you can tell which side of the coin I'm on, if it's Rashi or Rambam. But like, the Rambam, Rambam says that the whole thing, it's a farce. Okay? That's what he says. Now, Mar Psavim talks about Chizkiyahu Anavi, to Chizkiyahu Melech, to Mishnah. Says that Chizkiyahu did six things. Three of them Chachamim approved, three of them he did not. One of them that they approved of is he got rid of Gonei Sefer Refuot. So he got rid of the Sefer Refuot. So Rashi says, yes, good thing, because people stopped praying. People stopped doing tshuva. They just went to doctors. That's a bad thing. Says the Rambam, a doctor, obviously doesn't agree with that and says, that's a ridiculous statement to make. If that's true, we should stop doing chesed for other people and stop giving them staka because it's going to stop them from praying and doing tshuva. Why would I help anybody? Let them just do tshuva. Of course I'm supposed to help them. Torah says, Rapuni Rapay, I'm supposed to go to a doctor, I'm supposed to pay the doctor. And what this was, what is it going to say for both? It was quack medicine. It wasn't real. They got rid of it because people were doing the most ridiculous things, thinking it was medicine. Rather, you want to go to the real doctors. Totally different view. Mark Ruffles talks about shaving. Demons. Right? Mark says, one person can see them and be harmed by them. Two people can see them and no harm will befall them. And three people to shade them don't even show up. Three Rashi and all the Ashkenazi posts them. This is real stuff. Okay? Rambam doesn't think they exist. There's no such thing. Gemara talks about the guy that, you know, if you hear a voice from a pit saying, my name is Shlomo Ben Yaakov, I live in this community, write a get to my wife, right? So the Gemara says, maybe I should be worried that he's a shade. He's not really a guy. Guess what? That idea never makes its way into the Rambam. Oh, if a get was towards someone, I don't see where it came from. Gemara says, maybe it was a shade. Rambam doesn't even discuss it, because he says, there's no such thing. I don't have to deal with the halacha, what if it was a shade, because there is no such thing as shade. Historically, most Jews live in an irrational world. Over the centuries, they've lived in shaded. And therefore, this is what the Rambam would say. Meanwhile, the Vilna Gaon, he criticizes the Rambam and says, you don't know what you're talking about. You were so influenced by your philosophers, you think everything's rational. If you knew Kabbalah, you'd understand there's a much deeper message behind all these things, and you're throwing it off as if they're like ridiculous fairy tales. You just don't understand what's going on. So once again, two different approaches until today. The debate rages on. Right? Two great Talmidei Chachamim, two different worldviews. Thank you very much.